Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I'm one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison. Walker Lott joins me from beautiful College Station, Texas. Ryan Schroeder foams in from the fantastic Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Walker Lott, you first. You're at the Holy Bowl, first of all. Seemed like one of the most fantastic atmospheres we've had in a long time. How was that, and how was the previous week, in your opinion, in private school football?
Dude, it was electric. I'll talk about it more when we actually talk about the game, but like, man, what an environment. I think you can go watch the video to see my true thoughts after the game, but fun times. I got to do like a little mini vacation in the middle of the week in Austin, the San Antonio little trip. So it was fun. Got some good food. Good weekend. A&M won in the swamp, also a good thing. So
Marcel Reed, quarterback one, question mark, all that and more on this episode.
Could be the future. Anyways.
Ryan Schroeder, same question to you. As always, fantastic work behind the sticks. We were just complimenting your ability to get the scoreboard out at about 2 a.m. We thought there was no way to come out that night. You are inevitable, as Thanos would say. How did you do it, and your thoughts on the previous week?
Yeah, well, so I apologize to everyone that actually goes to bed before 2 a.m. after, you know, days on end of working out to compete in your actual high school football game that night. But No, I just wanted to say that I was glad that I was able to get it out. Drove 2 hours to Tulsa and knocked it out right there, you know, and we got it going. But great week of football, high school football, to be honest. Overall, you know, certain games, just kind of that slate where those public school teams are playing the private school teams and stuff. And so hopefully trying to get some of those private school matchups in there was definitely part of the goal this week.
Yeah, definitely so. And for future reference, we always see people comment, well, where's this score? Where's this score under the scoreboard? We can't put every score from the week on the scoreboard. We try to pick private school and private school matchups. And then after that, it's kind of just who has scored when we put them out. So that's the main rationale. I'm sure I'll explain that again moving forward, but that's kind of how we do that. So shout out to Ryan yet again for producing that. Before we get into the scoreboard, Walker, you knew this was coming. You just didn't know what artists. So we have another name three songs. This record is Channel Live. It is the live version of Frank Ocean's Channel Orange album. I'm guessing by your reaction, you might not have three Frank Ocean songs to list off top. I'm sure Ryan Schroeder could, who I might pivot to. Walker, is there any Frank Ocean song that you can name me?
Chanel is one, right?
Yes, actually, Chanel is one. Not off this record, but it is.
Yeah. It's
a good song.
See you both.
I wouldn't have even thought of that one.
Yeah, shout out TikTok. Anyways,
there's another one that's been big on TikTok in the past probably couple years.
Is it the, what's the one? A tornado flew around your room before you came. What's that one? I just usually doesn't rain in Southern California.
I just remember that
not
from
the zone of my tears before they ball when I'm thinking about you.
We're just picking artists I never listened to. And I always
think
like,
about you. Think about you. Think about you. Yeah.
Oh, man. Gosh, man.
Yeah, I know a lot. I may or may not have gifted some Frank Ocean vinyls in my time / posters in my time. So yeah.
Okay. You used the hint Lost in the last episode. Is there one called Lost?
There is one called Lost. I completely forgot that was the hint. Lost was the one that blew up on TikTok.
Okay, guys.
We got one more.
Goodness.
I'm trying to think of what big ones would be recognizable.
I remember there's one with like the album with the Chanel album or the Blonde album. I know there's a Blonde album. I'm trying to remember songs off that.
There's two songs that start with the letter N that are both very big.
N? I don't know. Oh.
One of them is a time of day and the other is a brand.
Nike
starts with an N. Yes, well, plural version of it.
Nikes,
correct.
Is there a song? Is Frank Ocean the guy who did like Pink and something like
Pink and White, dude? Pink plus White.
That's the one.
I was so, when you were going through that, I'm looking it up and I see Pink plus White and I quite literally was like, oh, I should have gotten that. It is so.
Ryan, what are your thoughts on the song Ivy? Have you heard that one?
Yeah, I'm actually playing it right now. I do. Wait, why is it not playing?
Oh, thought that I was in. Dreaming when you said you loved me. The start of nothing. Yeah, that song kind of rips me apart. But we won't go into my own trauma.
Wait, well, do we think people skip this segment?
Probably.
I was going to say, I thought when you first said Lost, I was thinking, Tyler, the Creator, for his last Call Me If You Get Lost. And
then
when you pull out the pink, I thought it was going to be Igor. And then, so that's what I thought it was going to be, but I was
like, That is a good guess. I had to throw you off a little bit. Cause that's, like I said, that this record is actually really cool. And I'll have my Patrick Bateman moment and then we'll move on to actual real stuff. But this is a live recording of a concert that he did during the Chanel era, or the Channel Live era, excuse me, Channel Orange era. And it's got a bunch of unreleased stuff on there. It's got a Bob Dylan cover on there as well. So tying it back to a couple episodes ago.
Shout out White Ferrari, man. I forgot about that one too.
Shout out White Ferrari. Ferrari's... Shout out Siegfried. Shout out Olive Blonde. Just one of the greatest records of the 2010s. But that being said, that's more for our own personal enjoyment than anything else. But with that being said, we will now move into Ryan's personal TXPS Media football scoreboard and give a one-sentence recap of all of the games on here, barring the top five games in the left-hand column, as those will be previewed more deeply later in the episode. Starting with Parish Episcopal beat San Antonio Quarterstone 69-33. Pump the brakes on the Parish freakout.
Yeah, big win over probably a top 10 team in TXPS this year in Quarterstone. Parrish, like you always say, Wes, that air raid offense with Sawyer at the helm is hard to stop.
Honestly, you know, Cornerstone is a surprising team, like always, even with no affiliation to Taps. I don't really have a lot to say about Parrish, but I want to give Cornerstone their flowers. DC win, Parrish 33 points on Parrish. I don't know. I think that's positive for Cornerstone.
Frisco Legacy beats Grace Prep 45-7. The Eagles are on good pace to make up with Ryan Schroeder's prediction. Walker.
Yeah, good win. I'm excited to see how they do it. It's a good team. I know Henry Ublow had a great game. Shout out to him.
Shout out.
Undefeated in non-district, 500 in district. That's all you need to do.
It's what we call bowl eligible. Concordia Lutheran destroys Kelly Catholic 42-0. Shout out to Tanner Hookfelt and the boys. A fantastic unit and offense down there in Houston.
OC over there, Eric Allen, Northland head coach, is getting those boys dialed in. A lot of points are coming this way in the district. Shout out to them.
Yeah, good shout out win for Concordia. Hopefully it continues in the district time.
Hyde Park dominates St. Dominic Savio 46-3. An impressive showing that I said Hyde Park needed moving into a district where they could be second, could be third, will be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how they do. Hyde Park, this was kind of a needed win for them, but good win nonetheless.
District looks a little bit different this year for Hyde Park. It's a little bit of a switch up from all the teams that they're normally used to. With that being said, you got to get wins early because the slate just looks it's different than you normally would have it.
Absolutely. Victoria St. Joseph dominates Rose Hill Christian 37-13. I always say we need to know more about the Flyers, but nonetheless, a fantastic win in this spot.
Expected win, but a good win to have.
Yeah, I'm right there. Expected, but also a good win. I agree. Rose Hill, not where Victoria St. Joseph is, and I think Victoria St. Joseph is that same team we see every year.
Fort Christian dominates Trinity Valley 41-3. A nice bounce back. I will add, I didn't realize that the game last week against Second Baptist was in a monsoon, apparently, or at least there was a monsoon before that. So maybe a little bit of a reason why they faltered. Nonetheless, still a good team.
Monsoon. Shout out to Landon Gigliotta. I saw his the crane celebration went crazy. Shout out to him.
I know, obviously I've been big on Fort Christian, but I'm also low on TBS. I know Southwest Christian was a big win first week, but now it's two back-to-back games against ESD and Fort Worth Christian where only scored 3 points in total. And you lose guys like Evan Parkers, you lose other guys in the program, you know, puts himself in a different position. But the thing is, you play SBC 3A, so it's a little bit different, and you don't know what district's going to look like because these teams are a lot harder than the district play will be.
I will take a quick sidebar. That reminded me, Giglio celebration with the Karate Kid crane. That was my background on my phone all of senior year. I had the Karate Kid headband that I wore during football games under my helmet. And then our receiver celebration after any one of the receivers scored, we all, the four of us all ran together and bowed. It was a fun season. It made me think of that. Moving on. Lutheran South beats John Cooper 44-37. A strong performance by John Cooper against a Lutheran South team that we think is well improved. Good showing by both sides.
Yeah, that end of that game was absolutely phenomenal. 50-yard-ish touchdown from LeBron to, I forget the receiver's name, but shout out to him. And then the kickoff. How does no one grab it? What an interesting game. And hey, sometimes just luck's on your side, and the Lutheran South Pioneers, or they had luck on that side.
Lutheran South 3-0. I mean, obviously a team that, you know, is now cooking before, you know, their time in district as well. Still got St. John's on the North non-district plate, which is going to be truly tough for that. But then, yeah, you run into a district that has Second Baptist, Woodlands Christian. You know, it's a hard slate. So I like to see that Lutheran South looks this good early, knowing that they have teams coming later.
Brentwood Christian beats Magnolia Legacy Prep 56-20, far from the days of Tyler Prazak for Legacy Prep, but a good win for Brentwood as they move towards, like Ryan said, a very different district slate.
Yeah, shout out to Brady and Jennings and company. They're a good squad, and they showed it over a good win over Legacy Prep.
Yeah, back-to-back wins for Brentwood. Love to see it. You gotta get blowout wins like this before district, so I like it.
Fort Worth Country Day dominates Covenant Christian out of Colleyville 31-17. Another great win for Country Day as they might move towards solidifying what could be a championship berth in SBC 3A. Will be fun to watch.
Battle of Brian Irvin. It's going to be a good one.
SBC 3A is all up in the air. If you were on our space on Friday, you would have heard that as well. But SBC 3A is in the air, and Country Day is there to make some noise. 3-0. Love to see it.
Absolutely. St. Andrews falls to St. Michael's Prep, the recent rebrand, 34-0. Good win for St. Michael's. Can't really say a whole lot about a team that's just recently moved up to 11-man football. Kudos to St. Andrews for getting out there. Hopefully see some wins for them this season.
Hey, watch out for Nico Anderson and company, man. They're going to be a good squad this year, like always.
Yeah, I love St. Andrews with the way that they're scheduling their year. You know, coming to 11-man football, it's not easy. You know, you're going to have to play in an SBC 3A caliber that's like it's normally been. So I like booking St. Migos with their game of the year. It definitely proves that you're trying to prepare your kids before the season.
Should have been rebranded to St. Migos Prep, in my opinion. But moving on, Episcopal edges out Legacy School of Sports Sciences 28-21. A game that none of us actually, this is one of the two games that I got wrong this week. Great win by Episcopal, especially recently losing their quarterback, having the younger brother of Walker, help me out here, step in at quarterback.
Brody Barty is the new quarterback at the helm. I just wanted to, I'll say my part.
Yeah.
Brody Barty to Logan Barty. That connection, it was so much fun. I think in his first game, I just saw him on our, he just tagged us in a tweet, 222 yards and 3 touchdowns for the first ever start for the sophomore. Pretty good one, man.
Brian Schroeder.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we see the college offers from the Legacy School of Sports Sciences kids. You know, we that's really what we know about them, is what the colleges think of them and stuff. And you think they got dudes, but Episcopal goes out there and shows that they're still like that, shutting out Waltrip, putting up against Parrish, and then now beating Legacy School of Sports Sciences. They're not out of it in 4A, not out of it at all.
Certainly not. Speaking of the SPC, St. Mark's beats Green Hill 38-14, a game that I think, did all three of us get this wrong? We might have, but kind of went out on a limb here with the Green Hill hype. St. Mark's still a solid squad. Will be interesting to see if they get some wins in 4A this season. Gotta tip my hat. We took some flack for that pick, but it is what it is. Shout out to St. Mark's.
I saw somewhere that St. Mark's has not lost to Green Hill in 20 years, or like once in 20 years. We were not on the side of history, man. We were not.
You know, St. Mark's is 1 point away from being 3-0, or 2 points if you know they only lost by one to Country Day on that last second extra point try and stuff like that, or the 2 point conversion try, I think, in that first game of the year against Country Day. That's now three SBC wins or two SBC wins in that close game against Country Day. I mean, truly, St. Mark's is a better team than I think we even give them credit for. And so, yeah, truly, truly looking forward to them come district time.
Oak Ridge demolishes Temple Christian 43-3. Yet again, SBC 3A, we've got some teams we didn't really expect to compete really performing well in non-district. We'll be interested to see if Oak Ridge, along with Country Day and company, can make a push towards a title berth. Walker.
Yeah, with a couple of transfers they had coming in and the quarterback at new quarterback at the helm and Cole Worthington now moved to running back, they got some good pieces to make a run of the SBC 3A title maybe this year.
Oak Ridge 2-0, 3-0, whichever way you see it with the forfeit and stuff like that. Yeah, I like it though. Blow out a team like Temple Christian. I mean, like we keep saying, SBC 3A is up in the air, man. Oak Ridge is coming for it. I'm high on Oak Ridge is what I'll say. Definitely high on them with just how the program's been over the last, call it 10 years that I've known the program, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. Cistercian pushes to 1-2 as Grapevine Faith falls to 0-3 as Cistercian wins 41-35 in a crazy, crazy ending. Shout out to Mullet Mafia for documenting that. Big win for the Eagles. Trouble in Grapevine? Question mark. Walker.
Maybe. Probably. Absolutely. What a way to lose, but what a way to win for Cistercian. That is a thing that you're going to talk about forever, man.
I mean, Cistercian basically, gets shut out first game, 3 points in the second game, come out in a game against Grapevine Faith in your third game. That's just incredible. Obviously, the clip does it justice. If you haven't seen it, make sure to go check it out. I mean, a blocked field goal to win it is crazy. So, good win for Cistercian.
Cantigo Christian beats Mercy Culture Prep 38-13. Good win for the D3 squad. Mercy Culture will be fine, playing a lot of bigger teams in the non-district. We'll be interested to see how both teams move forward from this. Walker.
Hey, it's kind of like the Parish effect a couple of years ago. Playing the bigger teams, see how you result, and hopefully help you in district. And I think that's what it's going to do for Mercy. But for a team like Cantigo, which we know not much about, that's a good win for them.
I mean, Pantego falls, I feel like, in the same criteria as I feel like a lot of these teams do in that Arlington area, right? Just kind of lower level of division wise for these years and stuff. And yeah, I like Pantego getting some wins. For some reason, I can't pull up Max Preps, but I would have more analysis if not for that.
Absolutely. TMI Episcopal barely beats Austin Hill Country Christian 36-31. Got to shout out Austin Hill Country for playing a close game with a much bigger tap squad. And also shout out to Brazos Christian dominating a team that can almost go out and beat a solid D2 squad. Interesting game there, Walker.
Yeah. Good win. Excited to see what they do. Grant Sweeney supremacy.
Absolutely. Yeah, Dallas first. Go on, Ryan. I forgot I cut you off.
No, I like Austin Hill Country being in the mix with some of these teams and stuff. TMI is nothing to scoff at, and Austin Hill Country proving that they can ball within.
Dallas First Baptist eliminates Dallas Covenant School 62-12. There's not a whole lot I can say there. It's kind of the margin that we expected at this point. First Baptist really, really solidifying themselves as the favorite in D4 if they weren't already. Walker.
Yeah, that matchup in a couple weeks of First Baptist versus Holy Cross is going to be a very fun matchup. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, I'm excited for First Baptist. In some weeks, you greet West Tolleson with hugs and kisses when he comes to see you, and in other weeks you blow out Dallas Covenant. So, First Baptist is far and away still the favorite in Division IV.
Listen, man, I had to go and face the music. Our guy Liberty really puts a whooping on Decatur, 49-21. Incredibly impressive against a UIL 4A team that went undefeated in district last year. Liberty's here if you didn't already realize it. They're pretty good at football. You should look that up.
No, this is going to be a fun year for them. That's a big win over, I think it's like a 4A, 5A team. Decatur, not a bad win ever.
The one thing the gripe we had with Liberty was we wish they would have scheduled you know, these massive public school teams that Parrish did 2 years ago. And, you know, I think it just proves that, you know, you pay, they, the two that they did, West Plains is on here too. But with, you know, Texarkana, Texas, and Decatur, good, very good teams. And I'm glad to see them bounce back after a Texarkana, Texas, great squad, UIL, and to be defeated another UIL squad in Decatur.
And last but not least, St. Anthony's beats John Paul II out of Shirts, 38-20. Not often we get to come on here and celebrate a St. Anthony's win, but we will do that just now. Shout out to St. Anthony's.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Derek Romero Jr., the quarterback over there. He's a new incoming quarterback over there, and he's been kind of helping that team restore some good wins, and this is one of the good ones. So shout out to him, Derek Romero Jr. Maybe remember the name as when it's all said and done.
Yeah, shout out St. Anthony's, man. I'm going to be a St. Anthony's supporter until I die, so there you go.
Hi, everyone. I'm Waverly West. I work as the head student analyst for Texas Private School Media, and this week I'm going to be recapping Movement South's absolutely wild win over John Cooper that happened this past Friday. So in this game, it was a relatively normal first three quarters. Then in the fourth quarter, John Cooper was up 30-23 with around 5 minutes left. Then Lutheran South quarterback John LeBlanc threw a touchdown pass to allow the game to be tied at 30 all with around 5 minutes left. Then John Cooper's running back Dean Calhoun scored a touchdown to allow John Cooper to be up 37-30 with a couple minutes left in the game. Then with 11 seconds left in the game, Lutheran South scored a touchdown to tie the game at 37 all. Then on the ensuing kickoff, Lutheran South kicked the ball off and the John Cooper players allowed the ball to roll into their own end zone, where the Lutheran South players recovered the ball and ended up scoring a touchdown, which allowed them to win the game as time expired 44-37. It was an absolutely wild win for Lutheran South, and that's all I have for this week. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, it's Andrea. Welcome to my Minute on Minute with the Interns. This past week, I went to the St. Thomas Kincaid game, where Kincaid won 27-17. So the noticeable players from Kincaid's team were Jordan Manuel and Wayne Shanks. And one of the most noticeable players from the St. Thomas team was Roy Thomas Jenkins Jr. He's their quarterback. Jordan Manuel and Wayne Shanks are both wide receivers, I believe. And they both had some amazing catches and runs. I believe Wayne Shanks went down all the way across the field. If you look at my Twitter, Andrea Kolch TXPS, you'll see it covered there. So it was honestly a great game. It showed a lot of promise for Kincaid this coming season. Hope you enjoyed.
The Brazos Christian Eagles traveled to Hearn to face the Hearn High School Eagles in their homecoming game. The very first play of the game, Truett Godai got a pick six. The Eagles' defense looked great as they ended up with four interceptions. Two of them were from Isaiah Perkins and the other two were from Truett Godai and Reed Jackson. Each team ended up with a safety. Brazos Christian safety was from Darius Rumskill and Brody Garner. Hearn's safety was the very last play of the game, and it made the final score 15-8 in favor of the Eagles. This week, the Bay Area Broncos travel from League City to Bryan to face Brazos Christian in their homecoming game. It's a highly anticipated matchup because Brazos Christian is looking to end their homecoming game losing streak.
Hello, I'm Bradley Hanna, and I'm here to recap the FBCA Pflugerville football game this past Friday. So, this past Friday was homecoming for the FBCA Eagles. They ended up losing this game to Pflugerville Panthers in heartbreaking fashion, 42-32, after the Panthers put up three touchdowns in the third quarter within 6 minutes. Definitely the player of the game for the Eagles was Blake Hamilton, who scored three touchdowns. Definitely a great day for him, and we like to see the offense attack, as Jack Malone looked great through the air, throwing for four touchdowns. Definitely the best day that we have seen from him so far. FBCA will now go on next week to play Liberal Arts and Science Academy.
There we go. So with that being said, that'll wrap up the TXPS Media Scoreboard, which Ryan puts together every Friday night, usually around 1-2 in the morning. So salute Ryan Schroeder. Moving on, we will start to our recap of the five previous games of the week with none other than the Holy Bowl, that not that's actually not the Holy Bowl. The Antonian at Regents game that Walker went to cover. It's the second time I've butchered the Holy Bowl. So, Walker, how did Antonian and Regents look? It sounded like the Blake Smith show, more or less.
No, it was, man, that Regents team is good. And I want to say, let me pull it up. Blake Smith did a phenomenal job. I think he had like 3 touchdowns. Like we always talk about, is he the most electric Texas high school football player in TXPS? He's definitely up there. He is phenomenal. How I think he just has a different like gear to where like he does it a little bit more flashy when he catches the ball over the middle or does stuff, and he just how he runs is just it's disrespectful to the opponent. Like it's just it is so much fun to watch him. And shout out Jack Devine, man. I see the vision. I absolutely see the vision of what people can talk about, what he can become. I think he's absolutely, by the end of it, is probably a Division I quarterback of what he can be. He had 90. Look at this, Wes. Ready? 323 and 36 yards, or 303 passing and 36 rushing in the first half. 7 touchdowns and 90% completion percentage. That's a game and a half.
Against a D1 squad.
Against a D1 squad. And Jack Devine's a good player. I'm excited to see him progress. And he keeps proving me right, where I think that offense just kind of works under him. He's very cool, calm, and composed. He gets his job done. He's very athletic as well, where he was making people miss all over the field. And when you combine that with Cade Millington, who looked good, Roman Patson, who looked good, and Bobby Long as well at the tight end position. Y'all some dudes, man. They have a lot of guys that can score a lot of points like always. The offensive line looks solid defensively. Jack Burkle and others. They have some dudes. They moved Drew Novi to safety. They're now starting a sophomore over there at the corner position. They got dudes all over the field. Graham Reinches looks good. They have a team, like we always say, that they could cause some chaos in D2. And probably will see All Saints in that semifinal matchup when it's all said and done. On the other side, I want to just give a mention to a couple of guys on the Antonian squad. I don't get it. I don't know what else to say it. I don't get how they're not better than they are. As a team, when you look at them, there's some dudes that look like they're on Parrish's team. Like that's how they look. Like they have some dudes on that team. I think Aiden Bernal's a dude. I think Jude Belaris is a dude. I think number 42, Joseph Carrion, the defensive end, he's a dude. They look like dudes. They just don't put it together. I don't know what to do. And they have pieces that can work into having success. They just haven't put it together yet. Hopefully by district, they do finally put it together. And that's kind of what you expect, because this is a team that made, you know, the state champ or the semifinals last year. So it's not like it's a slack team. It's not really coaching, because they can put up points on anyone. They just haven't put it together yet. So hopefully these are the couple of tests that get them to finally put it together as district comes on. Mikey Moreno is a tough son of a gun. He runs hard. He runs the ball really well. He's definitely a collegiate prospect at the next level. And I'll give a little bit of mention to Rogan Parson. You see the vision when he plays, and you see why UTSA already offered him as coming into his sophomore year. You see it, the arm talent, how he moves in the pocket, outside the pocket, just his feel from the game is there. And that's kind of what you can't really teach. You just kind of have to know. And that is something that Rogan definitely has at such a young age. He's like, I'm not going to say he will be better than Jace Toscano, who's one of the best to ever do it at Antonian. But he has the potential to be up there 100%. And already at 6'2", throws the ball really well. He can run it a bit as well. Like, he has something going for him. And if he stays at Antonian for the next 3 years and has the guys around him, he can be really, really special for Antonian. So Antonian has something. They're kind of like Fort Worth Christian last week, that they're a good squad. They have dudes. They just haven't put it together yet. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how they do. But what a win for Regents over a Division I school. Also, I'll give this shout out to the hat. Shout out to the ADs that gave me love. Shout out to Jagger Lowe, who came put me on their like pregame show, and that was a lot of fun. Shout out to Coach Phillips. And I just want to say that environment and community on Friday nights is kind of fun. It was really, really cool to see. You know, it's a typical like Friday night, the whole town gets there and like everyone hangs out. The kids are playing on one side of the field. Like, it's that type of thing. It was a pretty cool environment. It was awesome to see. So shout out to the Regents community.
I always make sure to scout the 6 and 7 year old, sometimes touch if the adults aren't around, tackle football games to see like that's my insight to where the program is going. If I see some kid just like absolutely trucking kids, I'm like, that's like a 2034 we need to be looking at.
Dude, there was a dad. They had like a, it was called the hamstring bowl or something like that. At halftime, or it's a flag. It was like the flag football game for all the dads. I forget what his name is. There's a dad who was like 6'4" out there that was throwing the mess out of a ball like 45 yards downfield, tight spiral. And someone said his son is in like middle school. We found the next quarterback for Regents, man. That kid, if that kid is any like his father, they have a bright one in the future. That's all I wanted to say. It was funny.
Homegrown. I love it. Yeah. No, I mean, all I'll really say is because you wrapped it up pretty nicely is that I think some idiot came on and said that Grace probably had at least a shot to beat Regents and win district. I don't know who said that, but that we need to find that dude and hold him accountable. Just absolutely ridiculous take to start the season. In terms of Antonian, I just kind of took a look at what their district schedule looks like. And, you know, I think they could probably get past St. Michael's Savio, TMI, St. Pius, and probably not Concordia if they're playing that well. So at least 4 wins. They're going to be fine in non-district. But like you said, if they've got all these pieces, they need to put it together because the D1 South obviously is weaker traditionally than the North. That doesn't mean you can just go in and just kind of slack off and expect to, you know, have a shot at district. It'll be an interesting ride through the South. Ryan Schroeder, anything to wrap us up here?
Yeah, kind of to switch gears on that. I think I've now truly realized that Regents is that team in D2's side of things when it comes to that the South side, right? I you know, day by day I'm kind of realizing that you'll see an All Saints Regents matchup hopefully in December. Guys like Jack Devine and obviously the Blake Smith Show, you know, make stuff like that happen. If you haven't already, check out our clips on our Instagram as well, that Walker was able to get in person, as well as the ones we're about to talk about with Wes as well. But yeah, I mean, just some really, really high level plays that we saw throughout today's game or Friday's game. And yeah, overall, I'm high on Regents.
Absolutely. So with that being said, we will move on to the next game to recap, which is Kincaid at St. Thomas. Got a shout out our newest intern, Andrea Colchado, who is there taking pictures, did a really good job covering the game. And ticket prices to the Jordan Manuel Show have skyrocketed following the Falcons' 27-17 win over Houston St. Thomas. Sophomore running back Wayne Shanks had 2 touchdowns on the ground. Jordan Manuel had a touchdown on a post out of the slot and several other plays where Kincaid just got the ball in his hands and said, go. Roy Thomas Jenkins had a couple of nice touchdown passes to Nate Tidwell and Oliver Labuha for touchdowns as the Eagles did have the lead here into the third quarter. However, it was ultimately Kincaid who pulls away in this one and starts 2-1 on the season, whereas St. Thomas is 0-3 for the first time since 2018. So, as we've mentioned, St. Thomas might have taken a half step back from last year, which is, you know, completely reasonable, losing guys like Dante Lewis, Luke Edgecombe, Johan Cardenas, and recently Anthony Pellerin. Will be interesting to see where the Eagles go, but in terms of the Falcons, the other side of the Birds of Prey matchup, they're going to be good, man. It turns out to be a good preseason prediction, I think, to pick them to win SBC 4A. I mean, really putting it together with guys like Shanks that we knew about and Manuel that we also knew about, but also playing very well. Walker, any takeaways from this game?
I think this just kind of shows more and more that Kincaid is a true threat. And like we always say, I think it's the favorite for SBC 4A this year. No matter how St. Thomas looks, St. Thomas is always going to be a difficult opponent for anyone. And Kincaid is doing really well.
Yeah, I definitely can attest to the fact that St. Thomas is truly, is still in a position to be one of those best teams in the south side of D1, right? Like, I definitely think it's weaker, especially now that we've seen Holy Cross beat all those teams. But with that being said, Kincaid is now proving their place in their place in SBC 4A, truly beating team after team. St. John's and Kincaid rushing to the top to beat these high level teams in non-district before they get to the SBC. kind of makes me upset the fact that we're not going to get a what's called we're not going to get a you know an SBC district you're sorry an SBC playoff bracket, right? I mean, that's the one thing we always get upset about is how is this not a playoff bracket, right? When now we see it in 4A, even if you had a CFP type thing where there's only four teams in there, why can't we see Kincaid, St. John's, Episcopal, ESD all fight it out, you know, come November, especially with just like, especially with SBC 3A being as crazy as it is this year, SBC 4A definitely having a lot of contenders, just makes you think about it just a little bit more this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And mentioning ESD, that segues us nicely into the game that I was covering, which was Second Baptist at Episcopal School of Dallas. Jake Gerke did look impressive, as did 6'5 wide receiver Dario Vanaglia. I mentioned on the space, I was sitting with the dad in the stands, shout out Mark Toon. We were looking, just kind of like just chatting, watching people come out, and he was like, number five looks really big. And I looked and I was like, yes, he does. I checked the roster. I was like, that's Dario Vanaglia. And I'm glad I did, because I had to write his name more than a couple of times in the live tweets. That kid's really, really good. Gerke put the ball to him several times. Also to junior wide receiver Siler Cook, who I figured out now it was Siler Cook, not Asher Cook. On the roster that I found on my own, it said Asher, but ESD got me a roster after the game. It was Siler Cook, so I apologize for all of my tweets saying Asher, et cetera. Also, junior running back William Taylor looked really, really good. Whenever that kid runs the ball, it looks like he shot out of a cannon. They've got some really impressive junior talent, as well as freshman talent. And Fine Velahi, something like that. But that's the kid who had, I think, like six D1 offers before he even played a snap of varsity football. And he absolutely truck-sticked a dude in the end zone. He's going to be really good. ESD's got a lot of promising kids to round out their future. But in terms of the winning team, Second Baptist, Bryce Butler is a man. He had two touchdowns on four touches, and he's an absolute force on defense. We've spoken ad nauseum about how talented he is. Cannon Toon, in the same vein, is a wizard. I think that's the adjective, or the noun, excuse me, that I'm going to use to describe him from here on out. It's like he's covered in whatever the opposite of Gorilla Glue is. Like, I guess Vaseline. Like, you can't bring him down. Like, anytime that he, like, rolls out of the pocket or scrambles, it's impossible for anyone to sack him. And somehow, if you give receivers enough time, they magically get open. And having him behind center is just such an invaluable weapon for the Eagles. In terms of the game itself, it was tied 21-21 at half, where it was a 1-point game going into the final 12 minutes, whereas Second Baptist pulled out a 42-33 win over ESD. I haven't even mentioned the player of the game yet, which was junior wide receiver Alan Thomas for Second Baptist. He had three receiving touchdowns on the night, and ESD just had no answer for him. Not a guy that we said a whole lot on the program, but someone along with Toon, with Bryce Butler, that makes this Eagles team click. All in all, two major takeaways. The first one is ESD is much better than I thought they were. We talk about 4A, we talk about Kincaid, St. John's, and Episcopal. ESD came out and hung around with one of the better teams. I mean, arguably, we could see a team that's going to the championship in Second Baptist this season. I don't think this is an ESD team that's going to walk into these big games with Kincaid, St. John's, and Episcopal and be like, oh, they're a better team. Just play it and get it over with. I think they have a significant chance to knock off some of the top dogs in 4A. And in terms of Second Baptist, I mean, they're a title contender in D2. If you weren't aware before this, and you should have been after the Fort Worth Christian game, you're woken up to it now. They've got a ton of pieces. Talking to guys after the game, they still think there's a lot of small things they can improve on and really, really develop and turn into an even better team they already are. Good showing both squads, but a team had to win, and it was Second Baptist. Walker Lott, any thoughts?
No, I think you said it perfectly. I always thought ESD was better than we kind of thought because of results, and they kind of played to sometimes like the level of competition. And I think this was a good one to show how good ESD can be. And that's why we always say they can cause chaos in SBC for it. And I think this is another reason for it, but that's a good win for a Second Baptist, having to drive all the way up to Dallas and still pull out the win. That's a good win for Second Baptist. But yeah, excited to see what both teams do the rest of the year. Ryan, over to you, man.
Yeah. You know, looking at, you know, Cannon Toon and how you know, we've basically seen him as one of the best quarterbacks this year, as well as that connection to Alan Thomas. I mean, the two of them together this year are going to be unmatched. So huge fan of what that looks like this year. Just overall the fact that Second Baptist is the rival to Regents on that side of things, like they always have been. I mean, that's been years and years since we've been doing this podcast where we've seen that. But I really like the star power of Second Baptist this year. And yeah, I'm excited to see how their season rolls around. Overall though, with how close it was throughout the game, Wes was covering. It was kind of funny. Walker got another blowout, and Wes gets these thrillers for, you know, every single time, it feels like. So I'm glad your San Antonio game, Holy Cross game, was a little bit. That was still a two score game though too, wasn't it, Walker? The Holy Cross game.
There was never really a time besides right before the half that it was like Central had a chance. But anyways.
But I just thought that was funny though that Wes is getting all these you know, which grace is, from First Baptist, you know, Second Baptist, you know, versus ESD. Maybe the North is, just
and then All Saints Parish in week one.
Yeah, which, All Saints,
that game didn't end until 11 p.m. and I had to drive to College Station afterwards.
Yeah, what is better, Wes? Like the blowouts or like a really good game? That is the question.
So the professional analyst in me is absolutely supposed to say the incredibly competitive games. And from a content standpoint, absolutely. And once I get about a week away from it, absolutely it is. In the immediate moment, my animal brain absolutely says the blowout, because that means I am home by about 9:30 p.m. And the incredibly competitive games means I'm not, you know, home until about midnight. So that's kind of an inner looking into our thoughts when we do these things. Cause Walker, I think Ryan said that, it's funny. Cause I even messaged Walker. I was like, Walker's going to have another game. I think it was the Antonian. Yeah. It was the Antonian game. I was like, Walker's going to have another game where he gets out of there by like 8:30 PM. And I'm going to be here until midnight, but it's just a little glimpse into what we're thinking whenever we're covering games. Don't sandbag games. Just cause we said that, we still love competitive contests. It's just nice to get home before midnight every now and then. So let us move on into the penultimate game that we have to recap. St. Pius at Houston Christian. Houston Christian wins this game 23-20. What is that? Sophomore wide receiver Amir Parks Brooks goes for 115 receiving yards and two touchdowns for the Panthers. But ultimately, it was the Mustangs that won this game. Greg Gurdy had a rushing touchdown for Houston Christian. Anderson Jones had a receiving touchdown. Hill, Barrow, and Horton locked down the defensive side of the ball. Both teams will move to 1-2. So a conversation in terms of Houston Christian, who I think was our favorite to win SBC 3A this year. It looks like, you know, this is a great win against, you know, a Taps D2 squad. Obviously a much bigger team, D1, excuse me. So I get lost in where St. Pius is now. A great win against the Taps D1 squad in the South. But it seems like the Mustangs aren't quite where we expected they would be. Again, a 3-point loss to a Taps Division I team is a good showing, but we've also got a lot more competition than we anticipated in SBC 3A. Walker, is there anything you really want to take away from this in the broader context of Houston Christian and how they fit in conference, or is this just a good win to gut out and move on?
I mean, I think it's a good win for them. Even though St. Pius is probably on the lower half of of Taps D1, that's still a Division I team they had to win. That's a tough win. I do want to bring up a point, because I kept seeing on social media, I don't know if Braxton Bice is now the starter at St. Pius. I don't know if he's hurt. I don't know what happened, but I think Noah Carrasco, the 2026 quarterback, is getting a lot more of the reps. And that is just interesting to watch, because I think Amir Parks Brooks caught a couple of his from Noah Carrasco. And I'm interested to see how that goes going forward. But that's just interesting, because the whole offseason, it was kind of Braxton Bice. Did he get hurt? What happened in the first couple of weeks? But yeah, interesting thing to watch there at St. Pius. And I have not also seen any. Is it pouring in College Station? Sorry, I just heard rain outside my window. It might be. It's College Station. It makes sense. But I have not heard anything about Rome Stanford's name in the past 3 weeks, Wes, and that shocks me. I need to know more about Rome. He has to be dominating, and if he's not, there's something wrong there. That's all I have to say.
Completely agree. Ryan Schroeder, thoughts on St. Pius at Houston Christian?
Yeah, so we kept talking about SBC 3A teams. Their district starts, SBC district starts next week. I kind of didn't really realize that, or at least SBC 3A one does. And so it's interesting to see, you know, what a team like Houston Christian does in their non-district schedule, especially because it is less normally than the other teams when it comes to, you know, just the more teams they have in their district. They do have another non-district game later in the year, almost like an SEC. What is it called when y'all do that? Where you'll play the whole SEC schedule and then you'll book Northern Alabama in like November. What's that called? Don't y'all do that in the SEC?
It's called giving a break amongst the hardest schedule in the country.
Sure. Okay. Well, in the same vein, Houston Christian has gone out and booked LSA at the beginning of the year, then St. John's, then gets a win over St. Pius. Like I've said about a lot of teams that are in the same position, I like booking the harder teams and stuff, especially when, you know, teams like LSA are definitely a spark plug for this year. And St. John's is definitely just another team that's been good year after year. I like it. I think Houston Christian definitely still has a shot at SBC 3A. The other thing I will say about St. Pius, right, is like, you know, a team like St. Pius now that is also 1-2, you know, it just like, it kind of worries you, right? Like, you know, it worries you in a sense that like those are bad. Like, you know, like you shouldn't be losing to a team like Houston Christian, even though they are the favorite. Your only win is over Kelly Catholic by one touchdown, and then you got blown out by Williams Christian. Like, there are your first district game is St. Thomas, right? Then you play Concordia. Overall, that district's on the lower this year than it normally has been, but St. Thomas is still a very top tier team. Concordia just shut out a team this past week, like. I don't know. If you're St. Pius, I feel like it comes to a point where, you know, district's going to be hard. I almost wish I would have that, you know, I would have seen them blow out this non-district schedule, but in turn, two losses come out of it. And I want to see St. Pius improve, you know, because district's going to be hard.
Yeah, absolutely. It will be interesting to monitor how both of those teams perform going forward, but we can only speculate. We will have more once it materializes. So for the final game to recap, the most exciting game to recap overall, in my opinion, the Holy Bowl, Central Catholic at Holy Cross. Walker and Jacob Bermudez were live on the scene for Walker. Take us through what the Holy Bowl looked like.
Man, it was phenomenal. And like I said on the video I posted right after the game, and I meant it wholeheartedly, that is what Texas high school football is all about. Like, that is why everyone loves and why it is legendary. Like, Texas high school football is legendary for games like this. Two communities, one TAPS D3 community, almost sold out completely at probably a 6A stadium in San Antonio. That was unbelievable. The Central Catholic student section is absolutely lived up to the hype. Section R over there is awesome. And they are definitely the best student section I've ever seen. That was phenomenal. That beat a lot of public schools, and a lot of people are not going to like that, but it is true. On the other side, I got to give Holy Cross credit too. Their student section was great, and it was sad for Central Catholic when they started losing in the third quarter. Holy Cross was letting them hear it too, because they should, because it's the rivalry. And from the get-go, from the first play, people were getting hit in the mouth. Like, it was a true rivalry where people would hit and then talk mess to them right afterwards. Like, that's what that rivalry is. The people had to get pulled apart. Like, that is what was awesome. Like, it was truly, like, what a rivalry is supposed to be, where it was 5-6 years in the making. That's what – it was awesome. So I just want to give both sides credit. It was awesome. I saw people tailgating outside. Like, it was electric. It was good times. For the actual game, I mean – like, I think someone on this podcast said, I mean, how can it not be Central Catholic, right? And after watching this game, I mean, I was on that side too. I was on that side too. So,
who would have said that?
But after watching this game, how could it not be Holy Cross? They run San Antonio. San Antonio runs through 426 North San Felipe. Like, it was phenomenal. And I'll leave it to this, and hopefully we'll be able to post the interviews whenever I have time. But it was like the thing where it was like their offense is basically it starts with this and then grows, but it basically starts with, can you stop us in the run game? And no one has. They run it right up the middle, and it's like, can you stop us? And a defensive line and linebackers who are they're not small was getting dominated by this San Antonio Holy Cross offensive line. And I talked to the OC after the game, and I was like, you know, you lose Daniel Alonzo and you lose all these guys, and you're like, you know, you might not have the best offensive line. And he's like, these guys are the best offensive line he's ever coached. And you have him.
They have to be. They have to be. I mean, what the teams are beating, the bigger guys.
And then the thing about it is, right, they have this, and then they are like, all right, we're going to bring in some reverses. We're going to bring in this, have Nicole run a couple reverses, and then let Gibby run the ball a little bit. Like, their offense is designed to beat you and hit you in the mouth and say, can you stop it? And no one has. And that's absolutely a credit to that offensive coordinator and those guys on that offensive line.
By the way, I've got to shout out that play by Nick Hall. I think it was a shovel option because Gibby and the running back took off to the right looking like a speed option. You see Nick Hall coming the opposite direction, and Gibby just flips it to him. And the offensive line being able to block a play going the opposite way. Oh, I need to go back and watch that. It was one of the more beautiful plays I've seen this season.
No one could stop it. And you got to give credit. Like, the thing about it is, like, it's yes, they're a smaller team, but like, it's not like, okay, Gibby is on, like, Gibby is like 5'9", 5'10", yes, but like, their offensive line is probably around 6 feet, 5'11", 6'1". So it's not like they're all 5'8" on the offensive line, but they're not 6'4", you know, big boys right up there too. That's right. The thing. No one on the Holy Cross team is 6'4". But right, they got guys who are 6 foot, 6'1", 5'11", that just hit people in the mouth and say, can you stop us? That's what it's all about. That's what football is. And you got to give credit to it. And then on the defensive side, they gave them nightmares. I think Nick Hull had two picks. First drive of Garrett Tyser, on the first drive, Garrett Tyser throws a pick, gets, I think, 5-10 yard gain. They go down there and score, hit him in the mouth. Next drive or the drive afterwards, another pick by, I think, Nick Hull. Or Patrick, one of the guys. Anyways, multiple, like, 3-4 turnovers in this game for Holy Cross or for Central Catholic. Like, it was unbelievable. And a storyline for the future for Central Catholic, Garrett Tyser goes out with injury on the second drive of the game, I believe. Now, I don't know if that pick should be voided because they lose their star quarterback. I'm just going to say that now. But I'm just messing around. But so now, because of that news, is that a storyline we're going to have for the rest of the year where Garrett Tyser is now gone? Their star quarterback is now gone, who we all really, really think is going to be the real deal, or what? Because they were averaging 55 points a game or something like that this past couple weeks. And they've got put, what is that, 17? That's incredible by Holy Cross. Yeah. That's incredible. And it's going to be interesting to see. I think the quarterback that replaced them, their offense wasn't that bad with them. I'm not going to say it. Tristan Soto, the 27 quarterback. I know they have a 26 or 27 and number 12 as well. So I wonder if it was, and he was throwing reps before pregame. So I wonder if it's kind of his job, but he really doesn't know the offense. So they gave it to Tristan, who knows it more. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes. But man, up front, no one's better than Holy Cross in San Antonio. It's truly, that's how it is. Up front, offensive, defensive lines. Shout out Jose Lerma. Shout out to the guys that are down there. They are dominant, man. And overall future, I'm so excited for this Holy Cross team. They have a true shot. And we always kind of say that for, you know, because we love those guys down there and we want to support them. That, yeah, they always have a shot. They legitimately, for how they play football, have a shot to make the state championship and win it this year. I don't take that lightly. On the other side, they have pieces. I like Bennett Stein. I think Avin Houston is a Division I prospect if he keeps putting it together. He's a true 6'3 corner. Personally, and I'm a almost grad student, so don't take my opinion lightly. I don't know why they have him as a corner. I think they put him as a strong safety and let him just hit people in the box. I think that's what his real position is. Because I it's the type of thing where, like, in high school, I remember watching Jalen Jones, former five-star Aggie, that now is their starting corner for the Colts. I remember watching him in high school and being like, okay, this is how you use him. He's a better safety, probably, but do you put him on one side of the field and basically just lock down one side? You know what I mean? It's that type of concept of, like, do you use him to make plays or just lock down a side of the field? And I think they use him as a lockdown corner. And he got tested a couple times. I don't think one guy ever had a catch on him. It was it was just that type of player. He had an interception, like, he made plays. But I would love him as a safety to make more plays with a 6'3" big guy out there making tackles. That's how I would see him. But overall, I think he's probably the most high collegiate prospect in that entire game. I like Bennett Stein, but anyone else on Central Catholic side, no one really showed out in that game, which is surprising. And shout out Travis Dila for the pick and the big boy up front and the defensive line running the pick six back. So, overall, last thing I'll say, fantastic game. Was one of the best games I've ever been to, regardless of public or private. Just so much fun of atmosphere, and shout out to Holy Cross for winning it. Shout out to 426.
And go. How is it not Central Catholic?
Gosh.
I have never loved a pick
Okay.
more than I love this one right
Right
now.
now.
Yeah, I think it is.
Listen, I've got to take a victory lap when I'm right, because it hasn't happened too often this season. Yeah, I mean, and a lot of that was based off of momentum and how well Holy Cross has been playing, and less about how they stacked up. Going forward, it will be about how Holy Cross stacks up against teams, because I think they are that good. Not just a pick off of, oh, here's a fun D3 team that we're going to be like, yeah, these are our guys. They're a good dadgum football team. And you spoke ad nauseum about, you know, how well they played and the concept of the game. Just looking forward, in terms of game, there's a legitimate chance that Holy Cross finishes this season undefeated in the regular season. And they could, you know, make a run through playoffs. First Baptist, I know. First Baptist, I know. That will be interesting.
We gotta be
That will
there.
be
Gotta
really
be there.
fun.
Gotta be there.
We
Ten
got to be
eighteen.
there.
Gotta be
That's,
there.
well, it's at Holy Cross, so it will be interesting.
Oh
But
no! Oh, I read it
it is,
wrong.
if it was at First
Oh
Baptist, I would be
no.
there in a heartbeat. All that to say,
Oh.
Holy Cross shaping up to have a really special season. And I feel kind of nervous whenever we're talking this much about Holy Cross and not DC and D3, because it's not like DC's fallen into the core of the earth and disappeared. They will still be there. It's going to be fun to have some sense of parity return in Division III, Ryan.
Yeah, I was actually just about to be like, we have to be at that First Baptist game. I totally was not even realizing that I was on Holy Cross's page, not First Baptist's page. I thought it was at First Baptist. Anyways, kind of upset now because I wish we could be there. But yeah, I think you're right. I think you're so right. I think Holy Cross is in a position truly, 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 truly. If you don't, you're gonna go undefeated in district. No questions asked about that. If First Baptist comes later in the year, but obviously First Baptist is a division lower than them, so that's not even a district game at that point. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I think Holy Cross has exceeded expectations. I really do love the culture there. I love the people there. I love Gibby. I love Nick Hall now. I mean, I even last week before all this kind of stuff, I was super hype on Nick Hall. I thought he was incredible. And yeah, I picked Central Catholic exactly for the reasons that Walker would tell you, right? Where they're all just bigger guys. They are bigger dudes at Central Catholic. And that doesn't mean anything when it comes down to it, right? And I love the fact that Holy Cross has beaten three San Antonio teams that are bigger than them by school population or number wise. Like Antonian, big school in San Antonio. San Antonio Christian, I think, is also more students by a long shot. Central Catholic, 1,000%. Like schools that have more kids than them, schools that probably have bigger kids than them, doesn't matter, because when you beat every single team by two touchdowns plus, that's very special. Very, very, very special. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited about Holy Cross this year, and I think Wes is right. The potential for 10-0 is very apparent. And if even if it's 9-1, I think, yeah, it'll DC will be their match eventually. That's truly how you have to think about it in D3 this year.
Absolutely. So that being said, that will wrap up our recap of the five games from the previous week. The thing I will end with, was the pick records from last week, since we didn't do it off the top of the episode. For the first time this year, I take the top spot at 17-2. Walker goes 16-3. Ryan goes 16-3. In terms of current standings, Walker still sits at the top at 45-12. Ryan is 40-17. I am 39-18. So I'll give myself the first spot to speak, as I did take the top spot, completely thanks to Holy Cross. I'm still in last place. I trail Ryan by one game, and I trail Walker by six.
Not a great spot to be in
wow. at this point in the season. I'd like to, if I was down, I'd like to be down two, three, four games at the most. Six games is a lot to make up. But I'm not going to complain about a 17-2 week. You know, granted, a lot of the games were pretty easy to pick. Holy Cross one wasn't. I'll take that one. We're getting back into it. Still the two-time defending champion. I will get a hold of a trophy that we can actually use as a physical representation of that. But overall, good week for all three of us. Walker.
Yeah. The king is still the king. And hopefully we can keep that crowd going. So
correct. I am still the king.
Why are we just gassing him up for no reason?
The two-time. The back-to-back.
Goodness.
Champ.
Goodness. Yeah.
How many games? Wait. How many games down? Say it again. How many games?
No.
Six. We'll answer that question again at the end of the year.
That's a lot of games.
Hey, this is all I'll say is I don't feel sorry about picking Green Hill. I truly thought that's where that was. But for my losses to be St. Mark's and Episcopal, I'm like, I should have known better. Like, you know, why is SBC 4A giving me fits, dude? Like, I don't know why those were two of our losses. That should not have been it. But I said this to Wes on the space. Legacy School Sports Sciences should count as the public school metric that Wes Tolleson lives by, where we aren't allowed to pick teams that aren't private school teams in public school versus private school matchups. So I think we should just void that game as well. We all got a loss. I think we just void it right there. No? Okay.
All right. I'm not mad at it. Yeah, but yeah. I would be here for that, certainly. But sadly, we have to maintain some semblance of honor on the show, although that might have gone out the window a couple years
honor,
ago.
Honor, HR, everything. What is this, dude? This isn't what it was 3 years ago.
We've become corporatized, and I hate ourselves for it. But all that being said, that actually will conclude the content for this episode. Keep an eye out for the preview episode, which will drop in your feeds Thursday afternoon. Like, subscribe, do all the good stuff that keeps us relevant. As always, I have been one-third of your hosting crew, Wes Tolleson. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you shortly with the week 4 preview. See you later.